Okay, good evening. It's the parish of Shemot, and this shiur is dedicated Mukdash le'Zecher Nishmat Nachman ben Moshe Yitzchak Zichrono Livracha Al Yedei Yitzchak Meir ben Harav Moshe David. The Shema should have an Aliyah. We're beginning the book of Shemot. And we have Shemot, there are questions that you really ask that are tough questions. And I'd like to try to deal with some of them tonight. One tough question, what is Moshe Rabbeinu's role in all of this? I know that Moshe Rabbeinu had a wonderful birth and grew up in a remarkable way. He knew the world of Torah, and he knew the world of Mada. It was really something special. And then he took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. But did you need Moshe Rabbeinu to do that? I mean, isn't it true that the Jews were brought out of Mitzrayim because God provided them with a miraculous backdrop? They were able to function against the Egyptians because God enabled them to do that. And what difference does it make if Moshe Rabbeinu turns the staff into a snake or somebody else does that? Or if Moshe or Aaron turn the water into blood? That only Moshe Rabbeinu could do that? But I mean to say, not as did he take them out of Mitzrayim. Did he have to take them out of Mitzrayim? Was he the only one who could take them out of Mitzrayim? That's one question that we might ask. We'll say, even if you needed Moshe Rabbeinu for the Torah, I can understand the Torah, very profound, very deep. You needed somebody very special. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person who could do that. And you could check his history and, you know, what he had studied and where he had been and what he had done. And then maybe only Moshe Rabbeinu could go to Har Sinai and take the Torah down to give to B'nai Israel. But Yitziat Mitzrayim, that's political action. That's something that just people do. They lead the minions in a struggle. Is Moshe Rabbeinu the only one who could do that kind of action, take them out of Mitzrayim? And the other question, which is not asked so kind of profoundly, but which I think is a good question. God promised Avram Avinu that the sojourn in Mitzrayim would be 400 years. The actual time spent in Mitzrayim was 210 years, just a little bit more than half the promise. I mean, isn't that odd? Isn't it odd that God could not provide them with a more accurate time span? Why do you have to tell them 400 years if, in fact, it's only going to be 200 years? So it seems to me that the book of Bereshit in its entirety, Adam HaRishon, Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, the book of Bereshit in its entirety, is something that's already said by the Maharal, the Ramban. I said the opposite way, the Ramban, the Maharal, that the DNA of Am Yisrael was being created. The way Am Yisrael will think about things, the way that they will be connected to things, that's all being developed in the book of Bereshit. And so, when Hashem said, if you look at the first pasuk on the sheet, Vayom Hashem el Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha mi'moladetecha mi'beit avicha el ha'aretz asher ha'echa. The first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, which is memorable, is that there's a purposefulness to things. You can't just leave the place that you live in. You have to go someplace. And so that became part of the essential DNA of Am Yisrael. They're going someplace. They knew that. Abraham knew it, and Yitzchak knew it, and Yaakov knew it. They all knew they were going someplace. And that going to that place would somehow be helpful. Somehow be helpful. And that's why Rashi says, "La'ana'atcha v'tovatcha," you're going to go there for your good. It'll be good for you. V'sham escha g'goy gadol. And there, in that place, you will become a great nation. V'kan i'ata zoche lebanim. Here, you won't be a great nation. Here, where you are now. V'ocho di'ativacha ba'olav. It's important, apparently, according to Rashi, that everybody should know who Abraham is. It's possible to be Abraham. That you can actually be that person. And anybody who wanted to join would be able to join. The next pasuk on the sheet is in Breishit Lamed Hei, Vayom Elo Elokim, Ani El Shaddai. Rei Revei, again he says to Yaakov, Rei Revei. Be fruitful and multiply. Gala goyu kahal goyiv yemi mecca umlachim michalatzecha yetsu. Again, that promise that you're going to become a great nation. Veta aretz asher natati l'Abraham l'Yitzchak l'cha etnena. And the land, I'm promising you the land again to Yaakov, just as to Abraham and to Yitzchak. That's how B'nai Yisrael learned that promises from heaven are permanent, forever. They are real. They don't change. They don't change. I will give it to you and to your progeny. One more. Reshit Perek Mem Tet before Yaakov dies. I want to be buried in the Marah. I want to go back to the land that is mine, to the place that is mine, the only place in the world that was his, unless you count the land of Goshen. But I guess Yaakov didn't want them to count the land of Goshen. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Shama kavru et Abraham ve Sarah ishto, Shama kavru et Yitzchak ve Rivka ishto, Shama kavarti et Leah. In those days, there weren't always burial places that were organized or burial places that were bought. But here is something that belongs to us. It was the first thing that belonged to Abraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. So Yaakov is responding. He's responding to the promise that God made. The promise was, you're going to get it. You're going to get the land. And even though he didn't have the land, he, Yaakov, did not have the land. He nevertheless fervently believed that he wanted to leave that with his children. We want to leave that with his children, that the promise to the Avot, which determined the way they are. And they are the ones who are going to inherit the land, and they are the ones who are going to have a tremendous populace of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren coming after them. All of that is certainly going to happen. I wrote down two psukim about trust. Yeshayahu, Perek Kavav, Pasuk Dalet, Bitchu B'Hashem Adayad, trust in God forever. Because there's no limit to trust. Ki Beka Hashem, Sur Olamim, because God is the bedrock of the worlds. Right? Everything depends on that. Everything comes from that. Apostle Git Tehillim, Hashem Tzva'ot, Hashem Adopatech Bach. Hashem, Ashrei Adam, blessed is the man who depends on you. So there was this idea They had to be learned by the children of Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov, and that is that your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of trust. It doesn't matter what the reality seems to be. It doesn't matter what you're looking at. It doesn't matter. What matters is that there is a promise. And that promise will surely be fulfilled. And it may be, although I certainly am not the one to know, but it may be that's what's kept us alive through all the years of the diaspora and all the difficult times that we've had. And difficult times may have come on the eve of better times, but that came again on the eve of worse times. And yet we knew that we were the people of the promise. And because of that, we still here. We still exist. We exist with the promise. In our parasha, Shmot, Perek, Bet, we read the following. Vayehi bayamim harabim ahem. After some period of time, yamim rabim, many days, vayamot melech Mitzrayim. Vayamot melech Mitzrayim, he died. The king of Mitzrayim died. He either died biologically or he changed his mind about things. He saw the world in a different way. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael. And the people were in pain, suffering, crying. There's got to be a connection, right? As Rashi explains, Melech Mitzrayim died and the people were distraught. Vayelchu b'nei Yisrael min avodah. That's one verb. Vayezaku, and they screamed out. Another verb. Vata'al shavatam, and their wailing went up to heaven. El ha'elokim mei avodah. Something happened. They weren't just enslaved. They weren't just obliged to do the work. But it really became impossible. And that's the other interpretation of Melech Hadash. His edicts were new. His attitude was new. And those are the verbs, right? Vayeyanchu b'nei Yisrael. Vayizaku, v'tal shavatam, all of that. So all of that screaming and yelling and wailing and unhappiness, pasuk avdalad vayishma elokim et nakatam, and God heard their cries, their screamings, vayizkor elokim et brito, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Yitzchak, and with Yaakov. Vayar Elokim et b'nei Yisrael, vayida Elokim, and God saw them, the people of Israel, and he knew. He knew something. Doesn't say in the pasuk, but we could imagine that he knew refers to the fact that b'nei Yisrael were not really able to maintain under that terrible pressure. Now in these three psukim, or four psukim that I read, what is the most difficult word? A word, a simple word, but the most difficult word in the Psukim. Look again at Pasuk Bet Vayera. Malach Hashem Elav, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong Pasuk. Pasuk Avdalit. Pasuk Avdalit in Perek Bet. Vayishma Elokim et Nakatam, God heard there, screaming, by his call, Elokim et Brito, and he remembered the covenant that Avraham and Yitzchak with Yaakov. So now I've narrowed it down. Where's the most difficult word in that pasuk? Well, obviously, it's that word, by his call. And God remembered his covenant. Oh, it means God remembered. God knows everything. But why would he remember? God doesn't remember. Remembering implies that there's a past and that there's a future. In the world of God, everything is all there. It doesn't go by like a movie. It's just there. What do you mean by Yizkor Elokim at Brito? He remembered the covenant that he established with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. What remember? What was there to remember? God knew it, of course. You mean there was a time that God didn't remember? Then everything got out of hand? Is that how it was? Is that how it was? The third chapter in this parasha refers to the election, so to speak, of Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Moshe Rabbeinu become the leader? Moshe Yero Ed Son Yitro Otno Kohen. Moshe was the shepherd for the sheep of Yitro, his father-in-law. Kohen Midyan. Yitro was also a priest in Midyan. Vayirhaget Atzon Achar HaMidbar, and he led the sheep beyond the desert. Because he was looking for grass, I guess, you know, I mean, the sheep, that's what they do. Vayavo El Har Elohim Chorev. They came to the mountain of God, also known as Chorev. Chorev, Har Chorev. So in this Pasuk, you know, the Hasidic commentaries say this. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a Ro'eh. He was a shepherd. You see Moshe Rabbeinu? He was Vayinhag. He led. He says those are the two criteria that you need for leadership. You have to be a Ro'eh. You have to be able to gather the sheep together to lead them. And you have to be a Vayinhag. You have to lead them someplace. And so Moshe Rabbeinu implied in this pasuk, I mean, it's not quite so obvious, but it's sort of like hidden away there. Moshe Rabbeinu was the right person. Moshe Rabbeinu was the right person, said he. Somehow okay. Moshe Rabbeinu was the right person. But still, was he the only person? He was the only shepherd? He was the only leader of sheep? I mean, there's got to be more to Moshe Rabbeinu than that. And then it says, Pasuk Bet, Vayar Malach Hashem Elam Belabat Eish Mitoch Hasneh, Vayar V'hinei Hasneh Bo'er. First he saw the angel of God in the fire. The fire is like looking at a Hanukkah menorah and seeing an angel. Imagine that. He saw the snare. Well, we don't know how big the snare was, but the snare was a fire. It was like a fire in the middle of the desert. It's this tree burning and the fire doesn't go out. So the pasuk says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu see? He saw an angel. He couldn't understand why the snare was not consumed. Then God saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had come over to see what was going on. So this, I guess, was an exciting moment. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do that others were not able to do. And that was Pasuk Gimel, Asura Naver Eh. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't running away. He wanted a confrontation. He wanted to know what that was. Badua lo yivar hasneh. Why doesn't the sneh burn itself up? Vayar Hashem, Yisar Lerot. And God saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had come close, where he cried, "Lav Elokim mitoch hasneva yomer," and God called out to him from within the snare. "Vayomer Moshe, Moshe," a term of endearment, Rashi always says. When you repeat something twice, it's because you're interested in it. You call somebody's name twice because you're interested in him. Pasuk hey, "Vayomer al tikrav halom," don't go there. Don't come any closer. "Shal na lech b'yal reglech," take off your shoes. "Kemakom asher adom meid alav admat kodeshem." You know that the shoes, that the angels who came to visit Avraham Avinu couldn't like sit around with their shoes on. Shoes was the road. It was just going aimlessly. It had no purpose. Taking off your shoe, that was a sign that you were at home, that you were in a proper place. That's an idea. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing at Admat Kodesh. What does that mean? I mean, is it a lesson? Is it something to teach Moshe Rabbeinu that you could have sanctity in a place that you establish? I mean, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the executor of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. And that's the tabernacle, right? Admat Kodesh. It's a place of sanctity. Moshe Rabbeinu was charged with a job that even the Avot didn't have. "Vayomer Anochi Elohei Avicha, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov." So you see, as the Ramban pointed out, to look at it, the beginning of the third chapter of Sefer Shemot, the Ramban pointed out that look at what happened. Can we describe Moshe Rabbeinu's experience? Right? Pasuk Bet, "Vayar Malach Hashem Elav." Bilabat Eish, he saw the angel of God. The angel of God, right? That's what he saw. Then if you go on, and you go on, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Asura naver eh." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "An angel? I want to check it out. I want to see who this angel is." The next pasuk, "Vayar Hashem, Kisar Lirot." Yah Hashem Kisar, he saw something, and then finally, "Vayikra Elav Elokim mitoch hasneh," he saw that it was God calling him from within the snare. And the change in the name is significant, but we're not going to deal with that right now. So you might say that this event of the snare is not just the time that God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and explained to him that he would get the job, that he would have the opportunity to take the Israel out of the tribe. But it's a conversion of Moshe Rabbeinu from lesser to greater. Lesser Kedusha, lesser sanctity, greater sanctity. First the angel, then God speaking to him, then God, or like a third person, God speaking to a third person, then God speaking to him in second person. It's absolutely, absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. What's amazing is that it's Moshe Rabbeinu being transformed into Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu apparently, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu came to inform the Jews that they were getting out of Egypt. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to lead them out of Mitzrayim, because we didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu for that. But we did need Moshe Rabbeinu to teach us the notion of Kedusha, the notion of sanctity, and moreover, not just the notion of sanctity, but that it's available. You can reach out and touch it. You can get a hold of it. And as far as, I mean, I don't mean to say that everybody can be an imitation of Moshe Rabbeinu, but in as far as such an imitation is possible, as far as such an imitation is possible, it's possible, actually, to change. So that the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, in this, as we see it in this chapter, in chapter 3 in Shemot, was not about leading the sheep, but it was about leading people to a greater sense of sanctity. People who lived in a world in Goshen, which was populated by those who believed in strange ideas, who believed in one kind of idolatry or another, people who were pushing away all the time from sanctity, who were saying, I can't do that. I can't be that way. Can't be that way. Oh, because Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what he's going to teach them. In the most difficult times, in times of physical and mental depravity, where the Jews were going to leave Mitzrayim, but they suffered on the way out of Mitzrayim. So they have Moshe Rabbeinu to lead them. So if I ask the question at the beginning, if I ask that question, why did we need Moshe Rabbeinu to take us out of Mitzrayim? So the answer is we didn't. We didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu to take us out of Mitzrayim. But to be cute, I would say, we needed Moshe Rabbeinu to get Mitzrayim out of us. Because after a long period of time, and 200 years is a long period of time, after a long period of time, you can't help it. I mean, you could live, you know, you could live in Muncie. You could live in Monroe. You can. But nobody is safe unless you have a sense of sanctity. You have a sense of sanctity. You might be able to do it. You might be able to pull it off. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not the teacher of Bnei Yisrael on which way to go, to the left or to the right. Where's the sign to Har Sinai? That was not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, to be worthy of divine concern, you have to work at it. You have to do something. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. One more idea, I think. Just a second. I turn the page. You remember, Hashem created the world at least twice. I mean, Chazal say it was more, but we know at least twice. That was the world of Adam HaRishon. That's one creation. And the world of Noach was another creation. I mean, everything was destroyed. And Noach and his family became the new beginning. Are they the same, beginning one and beginning two? Are they a little different? But we know that they are similar. Just as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam HaRishon, Bruavu, he said the same thing to Noach. Noach also proved, it didn't prove to be a very positive, the result was not very positive. There was a Mabul, a flood, and the flood wiped out everything. And the world started over again. The start of the new world is in this pasuk that's on the sheet, Perek Chet Pasuk Aleph. And that pasuk says, Vayizkor Elokim et Noach, and God remembered Noach, v'kol ha'chaya v'kol ha'beima asher ito b'teiva, v'yaver Elokim ruach al ha'aretz v'yashoku ha'mayim, zot v'et ruach, ruach Elokim rachefet al pnei ha'mayim. We went back to that. So once again, if I ask you, what's the more difficult word in the pasuk? Of course, the word Vayizkor. I mean, what do you mean? Is Noach is an ark, a teva, and he's like just floating around? You think God's going to leave him there? Of course, God did it. It's going to undo it, or he'll remake the world in some way or other. Of course. So Vayizkor, I would say, doesn't seem to mean he remembered. It means he started over again. It started over again. That's what Vayizkor is. Started over again. Noach was the new beginning. It was a new beginning of the world. It was the world that was going to last because it included mercy. Okay, we didn't get the mercy idea until Chayto Egel, but we understand de facto that that's what the new world of Noah was going to include. Even though the world was a bad world, the world of Avraham Avinu was a bad world, it was not a world that was going to be destroyed. It was a world that's going to be rebuilt that world. So we said that world, that word, you know, that word. It says, Vayizkor Elokim et Brito, et Avraham, et Yitzchak, et Yaakov. We said, what is that word? What is that word, Vayizkor? What did God remember? Let me say, God remembered the Brit, the covenant between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He didn't forget it. Of course, he remembered it. So, if we say, based on the pasuk in Noah, that Vayizkor reflects a new beginning, a new arrangement, a new, in this case, a new agreement, the old agreement was 400 years. Vayizkor Elokim et Noach at Brito, Vayizkor Elokim et Brito means the condition in the covenant was changed from 400 years to 210 years. Because even though 210 years might have been better or more instructive, B'nai Yisrael just couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. They were not able, they screamed, they yelled, they cried. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu mercifully change the agreement, Vayizkor. Just as there's a new agreement with Noah, there's a new agreement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayizkor Elokim et Brito et Abraham et Yitzchak et Yaakov. And so we've answered the two questions. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing there? Well, I don't think Moshe Rabbeinu was there to do miracles. I don't think Moshe Rabbeinu was there to actually row Etzon, take them out of Mitzrayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu was there to teach them what he had learned about his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which includes Kedusha, and being able to rise up through the different levels of Kedusha. Even if you're not Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the lesson. The second thing is that the notion of 210 years comes because of a Yizkor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered, and was able to pass that on to B'nai Yisrael in a kind of a merciful way. B'nai Yisrael were not able to pull off 210 years, so 400 years, so 210 years was enough. Tov, Shabbat Shalom, all the best, be well.